On a Thursday morning, just ahead of the big run on Sunday, the Life and Style Trail and Fun Run that everyone is talking about. And the studio is now packed, jam-packed, full of goodies, goodie bags with value, lots and lots of value. So if you are not aware, and if you're not aware, then I don't know where you have been, but just in case, the Life and Style Fun Run on Sunday, celebrating 21 years of media on the North Coast, we'll be giving you the opportunity to enjoy a gentle 5-kilometer trail at Holler Trails, or an 8.8 for 88 FM, or a 15-kilometer well-marshaled, well-watered, well-supplied, and then when you get back, the party is on. Now, we did the inaugural run last year, and it was a huge success, but one of the most popular items of all was the coffee. People love coffee. We love coffee. Or everyone loves coffee. And I have a special guest in the studio with me right now, Bruce Manning, who is coffee. How are you, Bruce?
We are brilliant, thank you.
Good to see you. Now, Bruce Starr is a name that is proudly synonymous with really top quality coffee. And we're fortunate to have Bruce Starr right here in Bolito. And you're going to be at the run on Sunday.
Correct. I've asked my guys to set up a table there and make the coffee available. So we've got the roastery and we'll have the coffee station.
Well, tell us the Bruce Starr story, because I don't think it's not widely known how good the coffee is.
No. So, funny enough, I recognized Dave from many years ago.
I'm surprised you do, because I have changed a lot from many years ago.
You haven't changed. Jiff and Jackie Ray were the old legends of baking, good quality products, good food down in El Bolito. And I used to be with one of the big groups that Jiff and Jackie Ray made the cakes for. And then we started roasting coffee for them. So I went on a long journey, but they effectively were the springboard, doing only 800 rand a week. And we'd built up that business to 6-7 million.
Wow. That's a story on its own, eh?
And then COVID came around and it disrupted a few things. And this big corporate supermarket group also changed the structure. So I then set up a roastery, or three roasteries now, separate. One up in Randburg to handle my Gauteng Pretoria area. Then Piggly Wiggly in the Midlands, an activity centre. So that's my roastery at the front end. And we obviously share the space with Piggly Cafe. And then the Sugar Rush option came up as well. And I thought that's a duplicate of that same lifestyle centre with activities for kids, games, what have you. And there are roasters that base themselves in industrial areas because they see it as pure industrial. But I take it slightly different. I think the customer wants to feel what goes on with the roast process, to know what's involved. So it's kind of like a Ferrari showroom. You get to showcase what you do, but what happens in the background is kind of separate. But at least give the opportunity for a showroom. So Sugar Rush said, great, we'd love to have a roastery, without knowing that it is kind of noisy, smelly, smoky. It is industrial. And we set up on a Saturday morning. We've been there about a year and a half or so. And as we dumped out the coffee, there's lots of smoke that comes off it. It smells like burnt toast. It's not as romantic as you think. It's only once you grind the coffee, which I've left you a bag now. And a woman called the fire department and said, there's a fire, the Sugar Rush is burning down. And the management said, no, we can't have roasting. I said, well, I thought you wanted roasting. So we now roast in the evening. And in the morning, we'll do the cupping of whatever we roasted.
So the morning is when you get to smell the coffee.
That's right. And you have that delicious sweet smell.
The coffee. Oh,
so
yes.
That bag that I've just done for you now was Tuesday night's roast. Wednesday we sample and test to see what the blend will be.
So it's a bit of a surprise always, is it?
Yeah, I kind of like it that way. The old company that I worked with, they needed consistency to the degree.
Yeah.
There would be process engineer, but there wasn't that artisan feeling. So the African coffees that we get, a small batch, I think if you put in the context of meat, it would kind of be like the Wagyu or Angus beef. Mm. That's literally grass-fed.
Top quality, but in small
correct.
Quantity. Yeah.
That's right. So each farmer will have a different batch depending on the rainfall or that specific thing, when he harvested it. And there's a range, not unlike wine. They call it a late harvest, which is an Mbuni, which we tried recently. So it's the cherries that are left on the tree a little bit longer, so they tend to go purple, raisiny. They've got deep characteristic, but true snobs will call it, no, that's defective.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, so we can play with that. So I would rather always have the later harvest than the early, the fly harvest.
Why is that? Does the later harvest have a quality that you prefer? And what is that quality?
Yeah, so these small artisan farmers would be like old school farmers. They go and look out their orchard and they can see the grapes are ripe or the apple, and they'll only pull off the ripe ones, whereas large industrial commercial farms like Brazil say, this week we harvest, whether the cherries were ripe or not. So the underripe ones will be astringent, green, sour. They won't deliver anything, but that's the week that they harvest. So these farmers, they'll go out and do a few picks and structure it in their ripeness zone. And then at the tail end, there'll be some late harvest cherries called Mbuni. And I quite like that. But the alternative is the fly crop, which is the early season. So the farmers are under pressure to get their harvest done. But the fly crop, I tried it once, and it's terrible. It is astringent, sour. It's got the negative characteristics, but they put it onto the market. So I'll rather always wait to the...
So generally, the riper, the better.
Correct. In the sweet spot. So it's a bit like an apple. If you leave it too long in the tree, it starts going a bit brown, a little bit mulchy. But we're roasting the seed, so the fruit gets pulled off. So the sugars, the characteristics, the compounds of the cherry migrate into the seed. So the longer time you have for those compounds to migrate into the seed, the more
full of
complex
the flavor.
Exactly, yeah. That's right.
So you also, apparently, and I'd like to find out more, your roasting process is somewhat different in that it's a natural fire. It's
correct.
Not a sort of gas-fired monster.
Yeah, I love wood fire pizza, wood fire anything, and cast iron. And there was two themes involved with roasting. Either full process engineer, high tech, where you monitor the drum speed, the airflow, and old school cast iron. And I'm old school. You know, a poiki course or a stew made in a big old cast iron pot is amazing. A pizza made in a wood fire oven. So I took a bit of a chance. Now, this is a classic piece of engineering. It's a 1950s British engineered cast iron that was a copy of the original French roaster from the Second World War.
Wow.
Yeah, and after the bombing of those European cities, they lost all the plans, the engineering. So this was a reverse engineered of the original.
Who did the reverse engineering?
Whitney is the British company, and they're already involved with serious industrial, sewing machines, locomotive, anything related to cast iron hard engineering. So if anybody wants to come and see this, it is a museum piece. And we roast normally Tuesday evenings, and this thing is huge. It's a 100 kg roaster. It takes up almost the whole space. So this is the biggest...
Unique Subaru style. Have you got three of them?
No. So this is
this the
biggest.
Only one?
I want to try and get another. So our Piggly Wiggly Midlands roaster is the opposite. It's the highest end. And Mr. Rahm, he used to work with Ferrari with the engine housing heat management system. So he understood heat dynamics, and he went into coffee roasting technology.
So and if you compare your Piggly Wiggly varietal to the Sugar Rush, which do you prefer?
We smoke them. So we can do small batch custom on the little 10 kg. We can tweak it. Whereas a cast iron roaster, if you want just good old-fashioned, rich, bold coffee, cast iron is the way. So we use the other one for competitions or small batch filter. We can tweak it. So there's an interesting thing called the angle of the tumble. So if you can imagine your tumble dryer, the clothes are flopping around. The more you speed up the drum, the more the air gets penetration into the clothes. And it's the same with coffee. We either want the heat on the drum in contact, which is what we call conductive, or on the air, convective. So if we want the air roasting the beans, we speed up the drum. Or if we want the flame onto the drum, that's conductive.
And how does each process affect the taste?
Yeah, so once you know the shape of the bean and the moisture content, for example, a bean with a big flat face will quickly take hot air, but it won't take the conductive. But a little round bean, like a pea berry or the mbuni I told you about, it wants the direct heat.
So slow the drum. Bean-specific.
Correct. Wow. And so Brazil, for instance, will be maybe a high moisture but more fibrous. And speaking of which, I'm actually doing my PhD on the lipid fraction. So like Wagyu meat with high lipids, good protein, polysaccharides, high altitude coffee will withstand more heat. It wants to go deeper into the roast to deliver more sugars, more complexity. So, I'm looking at measuring that lipid fraction to use a price econometric model. Economics is my master's.
I can hear. It sounds, let me say, it's way beyond my Fuhrmark plaque, as they say. But I do love coffee, and I love your passion for coffee. And clearly what you're producing is world-class, if not better than world-class. Yes. The joy is that it's available where?
So I supply a number of cafes around the country. But right here, Mr. Chris at Mia started taking us on. Pierre down at Hops, he's got his breakfast run there, and that's taken off. In fact, for a beer pub, they do pretty good volumes of coffee. Sugar Rush and Holler obviously hold it. Jason is a big supporter. I used to supply Jason Food Fundy when he was in Nelspruit. That's well over 10 years ago he came here. So he's got the Butcher Boys, which put our coffee in there.
Are the beans available to the public?
Yes, so you can come and buy, and we'll give you the wholesale price if you visit the roastery directly.
At Sugar Rush.
Correct, yeah.
Wow, what an opportunity. And of course you're going to be there on Sunday. Well, your team is going to be there. So there'll be a coffee set up. You'll be able to taste what we're talking about. Mm. And just looking at the bag, it looks different. It's called wood-fired coffee. And, man, the story, the Brewstar story is such a joy and such a special one. It's a truly, I would call it, although you are represented in other parts of the country, but I think this is a North Coast gem and maybe a Bolito gem.
That's right,
we should treasure it more. Well, I do. Thank you so much for joining me on the show and for bringing in this magnificent coffee. I just now, I want to now try and get it into a machine that I can taste it, because it smells divine. Now, the taste is the test.
You're welcome to bring your machines to our roastery, and we'll calibrate it there for you if you're not sure if the coffee's not coming. So I need to protect my brand and make sure that you're getting a great coffee at home, whatever machine or application it is. So our guys are really technical, really knowledgeable. I've got one of the best teams in the coffee business.
So that's the service you offer?
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
So we're happy to do that. Yeah.
So coffee lovers, you have now found the sweet spot, the gold standard. Brewstar, my very special guest, Bruce is in the studio with me, Bruce Manning. This will be up as a podcast, so if you just joined us, you missed the beginning of it or you want to hear it again, you'll be able to catch up on demand. Bruce, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
We'll see you on Sunday.
Fantastic. See you then.
And the show...